good to be here. Glad to see all of you here. Glad to have visitors with us this evening. We'll be in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts, chapter 16. Glad to see the kids running around busy collecting up coins for camp. From this Wednesday night on, all the coins go straight to the summer youth camp. After the summer youth camp, we began designated to go to the Honduras group, but now we're switching back over to the camp. Camps are right on us. We got to start getting those things in order. Teens will be going to Pensacola again, I believe the 15th of June, second week of June. But anyway, then we'll go to the combo week in July, juniors and teens, July 6th and 10th. So that'll be coming up. Don't forget the men's retreat. If you're going to go with us, I'd love to have all of you go, many as possible. There's two different options, one in February and one in April. Both of those sign-up sheets over here. And then the ladies will be having a sign-up sheet as well for Ladies' Day coming up in March, I believe the 7th. But I'm not sure on the date, but they'll have that out here real shortly. If you need a Valentine's banquet ticket, please see any of the youth. Couples, $18, and men, singles are $10. See any of the youth for that. You'll enjoy yourself. That's February the 14th coming up. That funds also goes to help the youth go to youth camp. So be mindful of that and be help to them as best you can. And the visitation this Saturday, we'll be going out witnessing, inviting people to church, trying to talk to them about Jesus, 9:45, and then 3 o'clock we'll be meeting for the Fishers of Men this Saturday, 24th. And then right after that, we have a fellowship coming up next Sunday, and we're celebrating a big day, praying what the Lord would have us do for as an offering for the Scripture Press and raising funds for Scriptures that we print right here on the property. We have the ability to print 11 different languages, and we collate and bind them. And we also have a work night coming up this coming Tuesday at 6:45. We invite you to come out and be a part of that if you can. 6:30, 6:45, we meet over in the Scripture room. And if you've never come before, you'll enjoy it, and we'll have a wonderful time there collating and binding Scriptures that we've already printed and get them ready to be shipped out. Acts chapter 16. Thank you again for visiting with us today. We're glad you're here. How's the temperature in here? Y'all warm, hot, okay? Everybody's okay. All right. Hot, cold. If you're hot, fan. If you're cold, do some jumping jacks. I'm sorry. I don't know how to help you. If I put it over there, I know some of you be in blankets. If I leave it off, some of you be sweating. So either way I go tonight, it's not going to work. I'm just to help you out, the temperature in here is 71 degrees. So I don't know how you get any better than that. Acts 16, I hope you read through the book of Philippians. We're studying through the book of Philippians, just started. We did a little brief overview of the first verses in Acts 16. Now remember, Acts 16 is where Paul actually makes the trip. You remember he got the Macedonian call and said, come on over here. And he went over there and was joined there by Luke and spent some time. And he didn't hesitate. You know, the Spirit had hindered him from going to other different places. We have to understand something, that we need a good reliance upon the Holy Spirit of God for directions, for guidance. And we got to rely on God's direction, and He has placed in us as His children the Holy Spirit to help guide us, direct us, to give us direction. And He had the Holy Spirit had hindered Paul from going to different places to preach the gospel. And then in this vision, he had a vision of a man over in Macedonia, which is the northern parts of Greece up there, in the northern parts, Philippi being the principal one of the chief cities of Macedonia during Paul's time there. And it's amazing how the Spirit said, no, don't go here, but the Spirits have come here. And Paul, there in verse number 10 of Acts 16, and after he had seen the vision, immediately the Bible says, we endeavor to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The whole purpose of the trip, dear friend, was to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have to understand something, that what's going to help us further the efforts of Christ in this day and age is no different than what helped Paul, and that's the gospel. The gospel is very important. What is the gospel? Realize that you're a sinner before a holy and righteous God, that there is no other way that you can make right your wrong, your debt of sin with God, other by faith and trust in Christ Jesus and repentance toward God. And that, in turn, the Holy Spirit of God, a work of righteousness, takes place in the heart, and you are sealed unto the day of redemption by God Himself, and you become His child, and you're able to call Him Father, and you are a part of God's family by faith. And so it was the gospel message that Paul went over there to preach. Now, in verse 11, the Bible says, therefore, loosing from Thrace, we came with a straight course to Samothrake, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and of the colony, and we were in the city abiding certain days. Now, what was Paul's custom? When he would go to a certain place, a certain city, a certain area, Paul always sought out the synagogue. It was always his manner to try to find the synagogue. Well, here comes the Sabbath day in verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out to the city by a riverside. Now, I'm not sure why there was no synagogue here during this time, but perhaps there was not many Jews. I cannot hardly think that that be the case, because them being business people, but that could have been it. I do know that in many places in this area, the Roman government would transplant people. If they overtook an area, they would take them and move them to a whole different another area, and that was for control. But Paul, on the Sabbath day, could not find a synagogue for whatever reason. So he went out by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and he sat down and spake with the women and resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken. The Bible says the heart of that lady was prepared for the hearing of the word, and it was prepared by the Lord. Now, we have to have a good understanding to know that God desires people to be saved. The Bible says the grace of God has appeared to all men. So He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So He's working. He's doing His part. The goodness of God brings men to repentance. And so God's at His job and doing what He said He would do. And it's apparent in this here particular case that the Lord had been working on this lady. They were out there worshiping, out there praying, where prayers was to be made. Now, for some reason, they were interested in religious activity, whether it would be something that had been brought to her by her trade. She was a seller of purple. They would take and they would change dyes and make these dyes and put them together. Now, purple was certainly a royal color, so she probably had business that she'd done with various different people. And Philippi being the chief city, there was probably great travelers coming through, and perhaps one of those had that traveled. Maybe it was a slave that was on one of those ships. Maybe it was a captain, a sea captain. I don't know, but somebody had presented to her in time past that there was a need for prayer. Well, we find that in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, don't we? Cornelius was a centurion, and he was a just man, did right, gave alms, prayed, but did not know Christ as his Savior. And there's no different here. And so Paul found Lydia there, and he's working with them, praying with them. The Bible says there that after they had heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, verse number 14, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. It was her heart that needed to be changed. Salvation starts, it's a work of the heart. It's not in the mind. There's a lot of folks that have knowledge of God and the things of God. You think about John chapter 3, where Nicodemus came by night. What was his job? What was his whole purpose in life? He was a rabbi. He was a Pharisee. He was one that studied religion. So he knew about the things of God, but he knew that there was this void, and so he came by night. And the Lord, of course, taught him and showed him that he must be born again. The other day I was riding in the car, and there was a guy on the radio talking. And, of course, as he was talking, he began to explain in his way John chapter 3 and how it was there. But he only went through a few verses, like the portion where it says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." So, see, the wind goes where it wants and does what it wants, and you can't control the wind, therefore you have no control in salvation. Well, he didn't finish reading John 3, because he that believeth not is condemned. Amen. And he that believeth is not. John 3:16 and on down, if you believe, you have eternal life and shall not perish, and so forth. Now, listen, it was Christ Jesus on the cross that died that evening and gave up his life. And he said, "It is finished," and he gave up the spirit. But on the third day, it was Christ that rose again. And it was Christ who said to us that I got to go away, and if I go away, the spirit will come. And it was God that raised him through up from the grave and showed the power of the resurrection, the proof of salvation. It was all God. We didn't have no part of raising Christ from the dead. We didn't have no part of hanging on the cross. He hung on the cross in my stead, and because of my sins, it was me that went astray. Of course, it was all Christ on the cross, and He died for us, and there was no portion that I had in that. And it was God who gave me a measure of faith, that I might be able to be drawn by the Word of God to the gospel message. And as I heard it, like it says in Acts chapter number 2, they heard it, they gladly received it. Listen, it's all God that did that paid my sin debt. But He calls, and He convicts, and His Word says it is written that I may know that I have eternal life. Not because of what I've done, but because of what He's done, and I turned to Him. And it was a heart-wrought message that stuck in the heart of Lydia, and as she was presented the gospel there, as she heard and she believed, and the Bible says there she presented herself for baptism, not only her, but her whole household as well there. And now they're entered into the city, they're about to go pray, and here comes this here girl that's possessed of the devil. Now she was a problem. I mean, she was a problem. And she followed them about. She went here, there, and yonder. Follow them. The Bible says in verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which showed unto us the way of salvation." He said, "Man, what's the problem there?" She's telling the truth. Yes, she's telling the truth, dear friend. But everybody in the city knew exactly what kind of woman this was and knew exactly where her loyalty lays. Dear friend, let me tell you something. You've got to be careful with your allegiance. And who you are allowing to put out the message for you. Because your advertiser speaks for you. The one that's speaking on your behalf, they represent you. And this woman's representing falsely. You know what they wanted? They understood here. What I believe is these men understood, hey, Paul's got a good following now. There's some money to be had right now. There's some money to be found right now. So Paul's got this good following. So they sent the little damsel there and said, hey, follow him there. And boy, she began to cry out. And many days, the Bible says in verse 18, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. She was pardoned. Not because of Paul, but because of who? In the name of Jesus. This is not in our church. It's not in what we do and how we do. Our testimony must be that of representation of Christ Jesus. It's God's will that after I get saved, that I am conformed to the image of God. And so by my testimony and by my representation of Christ, does not the Bible tell us that we are ambassadors of God? And by that representation, dear friend, and by that stand, it is Jesus that works through us that makes a difference. I'm the water and the plant. But God brings the increase. It's all about God. Boy, the masters of this damsel wasn't too happy, was she? Were they? You see, that they weren't concerned with this little girl's well-being. They were not concerned with her and where she would spend eternity. You know what they were concerned with? Money. Where they could get money and how they could get money. And Paul wasn't concerned about the money. Paul was not concerned with what this girl could do for him or do not for her. So church, we as a church, we cannot be respecters of people and respecters of person and say, well, I'll be more concerned with this particular class of people or this particular group of people because they can do more for me or do more for our church. And so if God is not concerned with whether you're poor or rich, well, how do you know that? Because the beggar man went to heaven. You go to heaven because he was a beggar. He wasn't a beggar, but he went to heaven because Jesus Christ had touched his heart and made him a child of the King. So, preacher, where's the example of the rich folks? Don't you know the story that after Jesus had died, that Nicodemus and another guy, what was his name? Joseph of who? What was his name? Came and got his body and buried him. What was his name? Who? Joseph of Arimathea. How did he get into the court? How did he get into the presence of Pilate? Well, no beggar going in there. He had some clout, didn't he? He had some political clout. Hey, what brought that clout? It was probably his property, his well-being. It was probably his bank account, probably the satchel of money that he walked around with. But he walked around with humbly, and the Lord Jesus Christ did something in his heart just as well. It's not whether you're rich or poor. It's what Christ has done in your life. We as a church cannot be concerned with what they can do for us, but what Christ can do for them. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. I've seen people get saved and God get in their life and they get their life right and they put some things out of their life, some habits and things out of life and became very productive, for the kingdom of God. Very productive. I've seen other people get saved. They've made a testimony of salvation. And I can't argue with them. I don't know their heart. And they end up like Lot. I mean, just out there, just totally shipwrecked. Because they turn their eyes towards this world. And they get out in that world. And they taste this world. They think that the world is going to fill that void, and it's not. Amen. They just keep running further and further and further away from God. How do you know? Look at the old prodigal son. Until it came to his mind, he didn't realize he needed to come back to Jesus, come back to the Father's house. He didn't realize he needed to turn back. He says, man, in my father's house, the servants have it better than what I've got it. And he made a U-turn. But he kept going, kept going, kept going. I think about Peter, Fisher. I mean, he did some great things and got saved. And the Lord did a work in his heart, converted him. And next thing you know, he's cutting off ears. He's cussing people out. And he's going fishing. Jesus says, go find him. Hey, Peter, you love me? Yeah, I love you. You know I love you, feeding the sheep. This is how it works. I would to God that we was all staying on the mountaintop on a solid ground and walking straight forward for God. But dear friend, I'm sorry to tell you, this old body of flesh is strong. And we feed the flesh sometimes, dear friend, and we don't allow God to work those things out of us and to chisel away at our body and to mold and to make us into His image, then we're liable to fall even right now as I'm standing here. Look at verse 25. This is amazing. They're in jail by now. I skipped a few verses. We're really going to get to the book of Philippians, I promise. They're in jail now because they done got these folks upset with them. They've been beat. By fact, verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in prison, charged them in jail to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. Now listen to this. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Let me tell you, dear friend, when you get done calling out upon the Lord, presenting your prayers, and laying everything out on the altar, it's not over. Amen. He's worthy of praise. I believe with all my heart that the Lord, we were preaching the gospel. Lydia and her household got saved. She presented the testimony so much that she constrained us. We went and stayed with her. We were ministering out of her house. And this old devil-filled girl, she came following us. And we cast the devil out of her in her name, in your name. And she got right with you. And her people, her masters got all mad. And Lord, we were just doing right. Lord, I'm in this jail. They beat me unjustly. I'm a Roman citizen. I was doing right. Will you let me out? I've been done. Let me tell you something. Whether the Lord would let him out or not let him out, that's God's doing. He's still worthy of praise. Amen. When you're doing right, He's still worthy of praise. It's not about us. It's all about God. Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in the fiery furnace. Oswald Chambers. There's some lessons that's where you got to learn. You got to learn them sick. You got to learn them flat on your back. You got to learn them flat broke. There's some lessons in life you can't learn on the mountaintop. Hey, what dew sits in, it sits in the low places. Sometimes when God's dew of blessing comes on your life, dear friend, it's on the low spots. It's when you're down in that valley. It's whenever you don't have enough. You couldn't even pull out $2 bills out of your $2 bills out of your pocket if you wanted to pay a $35 gas bill. Just wasn't there. God's still worthy to be praised. Listen, whether the bill gets paid or not, God's still worthy to be praised, and it's still your responsibility to pay it whenever you get ready. You get the ability to pay it. Verse 26. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. You see the power of God? And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." I don't know how he convinced them of the prisoners to stay put. This prison here, where they were at, was not little white lines with a rec room and flat screen TVs and a lawyer encyclopedia dictionaries and everything else, bookstore up on the top floor and three meals a day and air conditioned, dear friend. This was the inner prison in Philippi. And when God shook the whole thing, not only was Paul loose, those with him, the Bible says they were all loose. In the prison, the prison guard. This is what I'm thinking about. Who whipped Paul? Do you think it might have been this same prison guard? Maybe so, maybe not. The Bible doesn't say, but somebody put the striping on him. Striping, whipping. Somebody whipped him. I know the prison guard put the bands on his feet. That's what the Bible says right there. He's about to kill himself. I'm telling you, in the flesh, dear friend, you know what it say? Go ahead and do what you're going to do quickly. But Paul had been with God even in the prison. Amen. And God had been with Paul even in the prison. Then he called for a light, verse 29. And spring in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What must I do? What caused that? Just a couple hours before, he was locking them up in bands. He wasn't concerned about salvation, was he? Paul was thrust into jail unjustly. For doing right. He was beat unjustly for doing right. But even in the midst of being done wrong, he was concerned about somebody else's well-being. He was concerned about their soul. Guess what happened? And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And all that were in his house. And he took them in the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all his house, straightway. He was headed one direction. Now he's washing stripes. That's repentance, dear friend. He was mean and hateful old prison guard. Now he's washing their stripes. That's a changed heart. Kind of reminds me of Zacchaeus. Come down for today. We're going to your house. And Zacchaeus started getting money together. I've done this wrong. I've done that wrong. I've given it back. And that's salvation. We've got down to the point where we've got to say this, and this, and that, and this. And if we don't say this, and this, and that, and this, there ain't no way they can be saved. This ain't no way. We better quit looking for words that they say and start looking for meat of repentance from the heart, man, or born again. We've had too many profession of faith of false professors just to get us on down the road and reclaim them as saved. They need to bring fruits of repentance. People are going to wash their body. They got involved in the ministry. Is that not what happened with Lydia? She's down there. She's a nice lady. She owns a business and she's got workers there. And they're praying and they're making purple. She got saved and the Bible says she constrained them. She began to show forth the fruit of salvation. Now here's this old prison guard. Now he's showing forth the fruits of salvation. Guess what's next in both of their lives?
Both of them got baptized then.
Baptism don't save. Doesn't save at all. But it's a commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm a little bit bothered by folks that profess to know Christ, their first Lord and Savior, but they keek at the crawl about getting baptized. They're holding off on God. They think that they don't want to commit all the way. If that's God, if God in Himself, Jesus Christ, robed in the flesh, was God, is what the Bible said. If Jesus said that that is what we to do, what's the big deal? Jump off in there and get it done. Baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Get up and say, hey, thank you, Lord. Another step of obedience. Makes a difference. In both occasions, the whole household. What you do does affect your household. They heard the word. They ministered to in the ministry of the Lord. They were baptized. What's a church? A group of believers been called out, baptized, assembling together, propagating the gospel. There we have the beginning of the church. Not the universal church of the world, but a local, visible body of believers, the church of Philippi. Starting with a wealthy lady with a business and her household and a security guard or law enforcement officer or whatever you want to call it, prison guard, correctional officer, and they start the foundation. You see, the Lord places who He will in the church. It didn't matter to the Lord. Seller, purple, prison guard, all I want to do is save your soul, make your child alive, and employ you in my work. Well, when we consider the church at Philippi, remember, always go back and read the book of Acts 16. Good place to start. Now read this week all the way through the book of Philippians, if you will. It's in 4 chapters. It won't take you long. And it's a good book. Really is. Really helpful book to help you grow in the Lord. So let's stand to our feet.